Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome each and every one of you to worship from Railway Street Meeting House on Sunday, the 5th of September. And it is great to have you with us. It's great to see our numbers well up again after last weekend's bank holidays. People stretched out the summer for as long as they could. But it's lovely to have so many present with us in our meeting house today. And could I say that you're very welcome, again, if you're watching online or listening via the telephone. And you're particularly welcome if you're a visitor with us in Railway Street today. If anybody is here for the first time, then we are very pleased to have you with us. And I hope to go to the door at the end of the service and be able to speak to folks there. It's also great to have with us this morning our senior minister, Brian Gibson, and his wife, Jean. One of the advantages of asking you to register for the service is we know in advance who's coming. So I'd been tipped off that Brian and Jean were going to be with us today. So lovely to have Brian and Jean present with us. And I gather they are celebrating their golden wedding anniversary, folks. So I think that deserves some recognition. Good to have them. I gather you're on your way somewhere, heading down to Conceal, I understand. So a lovely part of the country. Great to have you with us, Brian and Jean. Folks, a number of announcements. Do please pay attention, because we're not yet back to a printed announcement sheet on a Sunday. The September bulletin is now available. You can download and read that on the resources section of the website. There's a link on our Facebook page to that. I can see that a number of you have already done that. So do make sure that you access that, folks. Message from myself, message from Stephen Woods, update on the link redevelopment and lots of other important information there. Printed copies are in the process of being delivered to those who don't have internet access. But for others, we invite you to follow that link, go to the resources section, and you can read it there. For our PW members, could I say that copies of the Wider World magazine are available to collect in the porch. You'll find them on the table there. Please take your own copy. If you see a copy for a neighbour who's not able to be out with us, feel free to take that. Any that are left after next Sunday, we'll see that those are delivered. But those are available today. Members of Kirk Session, it is the first, tomorrow is the first Monday night of the month, so we're going to meet for prayer at 8 p.m. over in number 31 here, number 31 at 8 p.m. Tomorrow. Let me say again, as I'm sure you're all aware by now, folks, Laurie Construction are here on site. That means that car parking is now very limited in our car park during the week. And you're asked to ensure that you do not park in the reserved spaces from Monday to Saturday, which are rented out to local businesses. Now, those spaces are available on Sundays, but not from Monday to Saturday. There's more information, folks, in the bulletin. That's why it's so important you read that, especially for those of you who are fob holders, that you read the information regarding the car park in the bulletin. You're reminded that we do have the use of Smith-Patterson car park now on Sundays, and also that car park is now available to us for weekday evenings as organisations slowly return. You can park over there. And particularly, folks, if you're coming down for BB registration this week, please do not try to drive into the church car park. I've asked the captain to send that message home to parents. We need you to park in Smith-Patterson and then walk across if you're coming down for enrolment, either for company section tomorrow or for Anchor Boys and Juniors on Tuesday night. On the 19th of September, we're going to be beginning our new series for this autumn, Love Your Church, 8 Great Things About Being a Church Member. This is a timely and engaging book, reminding us what church is, why being a part of it is exciting, and why it's worthy of our love and commitment. And I want to encourage folks right across the congregation to get a copy of this and to read it as we seek to refocus and rebuild after what has been 18 months of serious disruption as a result of the COVID pandemic. This book is being made available to you for only £4. It retails at £7.99. We've got a special deal from the Good Book Company. So there are copies available today out in the porch. Please just sign the sheet if you're taking a copy. If you don't have money, you can pay for it next Sunday. Copies are also available in the church office from Tuesday to Thursday morning. Then next Sunday, we're going to be reminding ourselves of our purpose and our core values as a congregation here in Railway Street. That's important for us to remind ourselves at regular intervals what it is we exist for as a church. But that would also be a great opportunity, folks, if you know of anyone who is looking to join a local church, somebody who's maybe moved into the area. And over the summer, we saw a number of folks coming to visit with us who had got married and moved into Lisburn who were looking for a church. That would be a great opportunity for such folks to come out and to join us. So if you know of anyone like that, give them a personal invitation to come along and share with us. And any visitors with us next Sunday will receive a free copy of Love Your Church. Then it is with sadness that I announce the death last Sunday of Mrs. Myrtle Campbell of 2A Woodville. To her husband Joe, to her daughters Ruth, Heather, and Deborah, son Mark, and the whole family circle, we extend our sympathy. Let's pray together. Once again, Lord, we praise you for the remembrance that you are the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. We commend the family of Myrtle Campbell to your loving compassion today. May they know themselves surrounded by your love and experience your grace. We want to thank you for Myrtle's life. We want to thank you for what she meant to all those who knew and who loved her, and for the opportunity to share in that service of thanksgiving here during the week. May her family look to you, and may they find that their ultimate comfort comes in the knowledge that you are the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has declared to us that he is the resurrection and the life. For we ask it in his almighty, ever-living name. Amen. Folks, could I welcome you to our Back to School with God service today? Many of you have gone back to school in recent days, and the start of a school year is always a milestone. So could I ask you just to give me a wave if you're back to school, whether as a pupil or as a teacher or as another staff member. Just give me a wave if you're back to school, nice and high. Okay, great. Great to have you here today. And I hope you know that as a church family, we're thinking about you. We're cheering you on. You're returning to school with our prayers. Not only that, but we're reminding ourselves that we're going back to school with God. And that makes all the difference. Our schools, our further education colleges and universities have been badly disrupted during this last year and a half. The going at times has been really hard. And so it's good to come together as a church family today to draw strength from God, to express our love and our care and support to all those involved with our schools. And as we begin our service together, let's think upon some words from Psalm 33. They help lift our eyes away from ourselves and worship of the living God. And I want to invite you all to join with me as we say these words together. God's word is true. Everything he does is right. He loves what is right and fair. The Lord's love fills the earth. So our hope is in the Lord. He is our help, our shield to protect us. We rejoice in him. We trust his holy name. Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you. Your word is true. Everything you do is right. Your love fills the earth and all your people praise you. We want to say to you today that our hope and trust are in you. No matter the difficulties, no matter the challenges, and there have already been those, Lord, as people have returned to schools. We thank you that you're the God who draws near to help us and to save us. May we know your presence with us today and always in school or wherever we go. Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. Amen. Folks, if you're able to stand, we invite you to stand with us as we join together to praise God in the words of "Great is your faithfulness, O God." Our theme for our Back to School with God service is the boat and the breakfast. I wonder, can you think of any Bible stories that mention a boat? And look, unfortunately, I still can't have people up to the front. It's really wick, but that's the way things are still for a while yet. So I need you to shout out, can anybody think of any Bible story that mentions a boat? Anybody at all? Stephen. Jesus calming the storm, right? Jesus and the disciples on the boat in the middle of a storm. Any other Bible story that involves a boat? Noah, right. Noah and the ark. Another one. Jonah, right. Jonah thrown out of the boat and swallowed by the big fish. Any others? Was that a groan or was that somebody? Paul shipwrecked, right. In the book of Acts, Paul shipwrecked on his way to Rome. Very good. Yep, Jesus walking on the water is another one. Today's story is about a boat, but it's also about a breakfast. So it's not one of the ones we've already mentioned, but I want you to listen out for who is in the boat and what is happening. We're not going to read this story, but the story is going to be told for us through a video now. So listen out for who's on the boat. What's happening? And imagine how you would feel if you were in the boat in this story. I don't know about you, but when that video, when I first saw it, and you saw the young man there, I thought for a moment it was Joel Hutchinson. I thought it looked quite like Joel, who's been working these last few years as the Scripture Union schools worker here in Lisburn. But as soon as he zoomed in, opened his mouth, you could tell it wasn't. But there's the story. Our story for today, the boat and the breakfast. Before we come to think about that together, I've got some pictures here. These are all things that have to do with school. Now, these are all very easy. There's nothing too complicated here. But shout out what these are, folks, okay? Just shout out when the picture comes up. Here's the first one. What's that? A lunch. Yeah, been lots of packed lunches. Parents everywhere have been going, great, we'll have to make packed lunches again in the morning. So packed lunches, yep, for school. What else? Next one. What's that? A backpack, yep, or what might we call it? A school bag, yep, school bag. School bags will be getting heavier as this week goes on, I'm sure, as more and more books and files are given out. What's next? Okay, now you can see different things here, but focusing on something that somebody is wearing. Shoes, yeah. Who's got new school shoes? Put your hand up if you've got new school shoes. Well, there's some of my children should be putting their hands up because I've seen how much they cost, but they're not. Yep, I'm sure everywhere there's lots of new school shoes. For going back to school. What's next? What do we got here? Books. Yep, thank you. Books, jotters to do schoolwork in. And you don't just need jotters. What else do you need? Next picture. Already heard somebody shouted pencils. Yep, you need pencils and pens as well. And the last item? A tie. Yeah. School tie. Some of you may be wearing school ties for the first time. Some of you have maybe changed to a new tie because you've moved to a new school. Now, those items are all very familiar. Anybody going to school will have those. They're all part of everyday school life. Now, Peter and his friends wouldn't have known school quite like we do. It was very different. And a lot of their schooling would have been being taught by their fathers to become fishermen. And so they were very familiar with everything to do with boats, everything to do with fishing. That was all part of their everyday lives. And Peter decided this day he wanted to go fishing. He wanted to be doing something that he knew something that he was familiar with. Because remember, Peter had been a fisherman before he met Jesus. That's what he did. And so that fishing boat was a bit like our school for some of us, or our office for other people. It was something that was familiar to him. And so his friends, Thomas and Nathaniel and James and John and two other disciples, wanted to join him. And they all got into the boat and they pushed off from shore. And it was good to be together doing things with friends. It's always good to be together with friends, isn't it? We enjoy their company. They can cheer us up. And for some of you, that's why you've been happy about going back to school, because you're maybe getting to see friends that you didn't get to see over the summer. For others, we may feel like Peter as we return to school. We're wanting to be active. We're wanting to be doing things again. We're wanting to be discovering and learning. For many, school is familiar and we like to go there. Maybe sometimes we moan about having to go back, but once we're there, we're happy to be back. Simon Peter and his friends were looking forward to their all-night fishing trip. And Peter knew the times and the places where fish should be found and should be able to be caught. He was an experienced fisherman. He knew what he was doing. But even so, that night, things did not turn out the way he and his friends hoped. They spent a long, hard night fishing, but it ended with disappointment, because how many fish did they catch? None. Not a one. Didn't catch anything. By morning, they'd caught absolutely nothing. Their net was empty, and I'm sure they were, how would they have been feeling? Well, I'm sure they were feeling disappointed and tired and frustrated. Maybe we can think of a time when we put a lot of effort into something and it didn't quite work out the way we hoped. And all who work in a school or all who study in a school have faced all sorts of difficulties and frustrations over the last year. And even this year, there are already, we know, challenges in many of our schools. And lots of people, most of us, have faced difficulties and frustrations over the last year. We've worked hard, we've worked very hard, but it's brought challenges and disappointments. Learning went online. Parents had to try and become teachers. We missed seeing our friends. Exams were cancelled again. People have lost their jobs. I'm sure we can all identify with Peter. There have been times where we have felt disappointed and frustrated. And by early morning, the disciples, they were cold, they were wet, they were tired, and they were hungry. They were really hungry. But they had accepted defeat. They weren't going to catch anything. They were preparing to return to shore. They were giving up. And as they approached the shore, as we heard, they saw a figure on the beach who asked them, "Have you caught any fish?" Now, they didn't recognize Jesus at this point. But when the figure told them to throw their nets on the other side, they immediately responded and did what that figure said. They gave it one more go, just one more go. Doing what we're told is sometimes hard, isn't it? All of us, no matter what age we are, at times like to think we know better than other people. Peter knew his job. Peter could have argued and said, "Look, throwing the net over the other side's pointless. We've been at this all night. We've tried every way. We haven't caught anything." But instead, he chose to listen to this stranger, who was, of course, Jesus. And of course, as a result, things worked out better than he could ever have imagined. Friends, those of us who follow Jesus still find that to be true today. Jesus is worth listening to. Jesus is worth obeying and trusting, because he knows best. Suddenly, there were so many fish in the net that it was full to bursting. And that boat that had been empty was now a boat that was full, not just of fish, but full of really excited disciples. Peter could not have made this happen. He needed Jesus' help. He needed Jesus to perform a miracle, because that's what this was. Peter had tried and failed. Jesus had made it possible. Good to remember those words that we were saying together from Psalm 33. "So our hope is in the Lord. He is our help." Our hope is in the Lord. He is our help. We can rely on Jesus, not just on a Sunday, but as Peter discovered, in our everyday lives, especially Monday to Friday as we go to school or we go to work. Our hope is in the Lord. He is our help. We're going to sing another song together. It's a song we haven't done for quite a while. It's a children's song, and it's reminding us how great, how big our God is. It would be lovely to have some folks up here to do the actions, but if you remember the actions, just do them where you're standing, folks. Let's stand, let's sing together. Our God is a great big God. The boat and the breakfast. What do you like to eat for breakfast? Here's a picture with lots of things that you can have for breakfast. I hope. Do you want to shout out, what did you have for breakfast? Oh, here we go. What did you have for breakfast this morning? Anybody want to tell me, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Porridge. Lovely. Heard that now. Now, what's Judah telling me? What did Judah have for breakfast? Judah had some orange juice. Judah's enjoying a big apple right now. What did others have? Coffee. What else? Oh boy, I don't know what that was now, but lots of different things we can have for breakfast. We're blessed with lots of things to choose from. And it's good to remember to thank God for our food. And we know the difference a good breakfast makes. It's important that we go out, especially when we're going to school, that our tummies are full, that we get a good start to the day. We left the story there a few moments ago with Simon Peter and his friends with their full nets, with all those fish. Jesus had made the difference. He had given them what they needed. There were so many fish. And once again, Peter was reminded that Jesus more than provides. I wonder if he and the other disciples, if their mind went back to other times where Jesus had provided, maybe to the feeding of the 5,000 where Jesus shared bread and fish and there are 12 baskets left over. We bring our needs to Jesus, and he doesn't give us the bare minimum. Jesus gives generously. What had just happened was so incredible. It had to be a miracle, and it made Peter stop and recognize Jesus' love for him. I wonder if we've been able to recognize God's love for us over the course of this past year. There have been many difficult times, but I hope in the midst of that, we've been assured and reminded of God's love. Maybe there was a really worrying situation that turned around for us. Maybe we then heard from somebody that they'd been praying for us. Maybe someone texted us or sent a card just when we needed a little bit of encouragement. Or maybe we received a gift or someone shared a photo that cheered us up. Makes all the difference to our lives to know that someone cares for us. So that's like Peter, let's stop and think, and let's recognize that God is at work in our everyday lives, wherever we are. And often in the actions of others, we see his loving care. And again, these things remind us of what we read in Psalm 33. God's love fills the earth. Simon Peter's attention wasn't just caught up with all the fish in his boat. However, it was taken up with the figure on the beach. Because then he heard his friend John shout, "It's the Lord! It's the Lord!" And Peter put on his cloak, jumped out of the boat into the water. We can really sense his excitement, his eagerness to get to the shore to see Jesus. Cold and hungry and tired, the disciples saw that Jesus had prepared a fire to warm them up, and he had cooked some delicious fish and bread. That was really kind, wasn't it? And Jesus didn't even need the fish they had caught. He had provided for them. He already knew what they were needing. Even so, he sent Simon Peter to fetch the net of fish and then gave them this simple invitation. Come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. Now, Jesus could have cooked the meal and then left them to enjoy it. But no, he didn't do what many of those takeaway deliveries have been doing over the last year and a half, you know, where you hear the knock at the door or the doorbell, and you go and you answer the door, and the food's just been set down there, and the delivery driver's already getting back into their car and maybe give you a wee wave. No, Jesus didn't just give them the food and leave them. He sat down with them. He enjoyed breakfast with them. He enjoyed their company. They enjoyed talking together. These were his friends, and Jesus loved them, and he wanted to be with them. And I hope you realize just how much Jesus loves each of you here today as well. Jesus said to his disciples, come and have breakfast. Come and enjoy my company. Come and be fed and be reminded of the love that I have for you. And the final treat for them, I think in many ways, was to see Jesus break the bread. And perhaps their minds went back to that time in the upper room before Jesus died on the cross, just before he died, when he had shared that bread with them and told them to remember him. Or back to that time when he'd broken bread and fed those 5,000 people. And they didn't need to ask, who are you? We're told they knew for sure it was Jesus. Friends, the breakfast reminds us that Jesus wants our company too. And he gives us that same invitation to come to him, day by day, to know his presence with us. We don't have to rush away. Don't have to say other things are more important. Jesus is there for us and wants us to spend time with him. And as you've gone back to school, our prayer is that you will know that same loving presence of Jesus going with you, whether you're at school to learn, whether you're at school to teach, whether you're there to assist in the classroom, in the office, or the canteen, whatever role you're playing. And as families, we hope and pray that as the term goes on, that things will settle down and that things will gradually return to normal. But we pray above all that you'll take time to know that Jesus is there to help you, and that the presence of Jesus is with you, that his love fills the earth. We're going to spend a few moments now, and we're going to pray together for schools and for all those who work in them. We're going to remind ourselves that God can show his love as we put our trust in him. And so Stephen Davidson and Stephen Johnson and Heidi are going to lead us in praying for schools and their needs. So Stephen Johnson's going to be praying for us first, but if all three of you want to come up now, and at the end of each prayer, can we put up that slide, Ian? At the end of each of their sections, they're going to say these words. Let's say these words together. Lord, show us your love as we trust in you.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you today for every child and young person in our church fellowship. We pray for those who have started nursery, primary, secondary, or home learning for the first time, as well as for our students who'll soon start college and university. May they know you care for them and are with them. May knowing that they are going back to school with God help them to settle in quickly. We pray, Father, that our schools would be places of learning, creativity, encouragement, and discovery for our young people. We ask that your peace and joy would fill classrooms, playgrounds, and lessons. Help them with every difficulty. We also pray that extracurricular activities might safely resume, and that through them pupils will grow in skills, in understanding, and in friendship. Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you. Amen.
Father God, we pray for our head teachers, and support staff who work so hard to ensure that we thrive as pupils and reach our potential at school. We thank you for the support and encouragement they give us. We ask you that you give them wisdom for the year ahead. Please remind them of the impact they have on the lives of so many pupils. We pray for those in our own church who work in schools. In challenging moments, please give them patience, energy, and the sense of your presence. Guide them by your Spirit. We pray that the staff room would be a place where words of encouragement are spoken. Lord, show us your love as we put your trust in you. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for our service this morning. You are trustworthy and faithful. You are generous and kind. You are faithful even when things don't always turn out as we would want or imagine. Thank you for your incredible love. Forgive us when we doubt your goodness and wander far from you. Forgive us for times we think we know best and don't listen to you. We are sorry, Lord. In our disappointments and failings, in our fears and our worries, draw us close to you. We pray for those involved in education. We pray for those in positions of leadership and influence who make decisions at a local and government level. We pray especially for Christians who serve and work among them, that you would protect them. May they lead with integrity. May they be influencers for good and work in a way that reflects and honours you. We pray for those who serve on parent-teacher associations and boards of governors, who have important decisions to make. May your Holy Spirit guide them. Going forward, we pray that assemblies, SU groups, and other Christian support structures might be allowed to continue. And we recognise their value as places where children and young people can wrestle with tough questions, explore the Bible, and find out who you are. We pray for wisdom for our own church family as we support our local schools. Lord, please stir us to compassion and stir us to action. Please help us bring encouragement to our children and teachers, both practically and through ongoing prayer. Lord, show us your love as we put our trust in you. Amen.
Thanks to Stephen and Stephen and Heidi. Folks, we're going to sing together again. And then after that song, could I ask you just to take your seats, because we've one more thing we want to do together. And we'll leave the benediction to write after that. So we could continue to live stream, folks, right through that. That would be good as well. But we're going to join together to sing this final song. And we think again just of all the challenges and opportunities we face. And we remember that we're not on our own. We remember that Jesus is there, and that often Jesus is able and ready to work through us. As we sing together, "Yet not I, but through Christ in me." Friends, on Tuesday last week, Stephen Wood's time as our youth and family worker in Railway Street ended after over 6.5 years. Stephen was the longest serving member of our ministry team in Railway Street. He was in post before I arrived back in September 2015. He was a staff member that I inherited. And at that time, he was working part-time on a temporary contract, but it didn't take long for me to see and realize the asset that he was in Railway Street, and the Kirk Session ensured that we extended his contract and upped his hours. Then we extended it some more, and then we made it permanent. And since that appointment, Stephen has shown great enthusiasm and gifting and vision in overseeing our youth and children's work. He's demonstrated time and time again initiative and innovation. He has been extremely hardworking and also most of the time very easy to work with, although he is a great stirrer and he will seek to wind you up at every opportunity. As some of you will know, I'm well used to that now. I hardly even think about it. But I do remember, I'll not name them, but I remember a couple coming up to the manse to talk about their wedding. And we'd gone through most of the arrangements for that. And then somewhat hesitantly, they said, we've something we want to ask you. And I said, what's that? And they said, well, we wondered, you know, we both have a family dog. And we wondered about using our dogs as ring bearers. They could come up the aisle and bring the rings up to the front of the service. And I just immediately thought, Stephen Woods has put them up to this. It had all the hallmarks of one of Stephen's wind-ups. And to my horror, no, Stephen had not put them up to it. They were kind of genuine, but we got them talked out of that. But he is a real stirrer, folks. Many of you will know that. More seriously, he has placed great emphasis on discipling our young folks and our young leaders. He's engaged in a lot of one-to-one mentoring and the nurturing of new leaders here in Railway Street. He has developed over his time our schools ministry. He has overseen the work of two student youth workers and one youth intern. And during that first lockdown, especially when I was all at sea, folks, I really was, Stephen's ideas and his IT skills were crucial in helping to maintain communication among our church family. And so many of us really appreciated and looked forward to those Meet the Family videos during that first lockdown with those interviews with different members of the congregation. During his time with us, he's also become a husband to Rachel. There are many of us who still wonder how he managed to pull that off, but there you go. And in more recent times, he's become a proud dad to Judah. And Stephen is rightly held in very high regard, not just by our children and young people and parents, but by everyone across all ages here in the congregation. And that is evidenced in the really generous giving that has been seen right across the congregation for this occasion today. It was with great pride and joy that we as a congregation learned back in April that Stephen had been accepted as a student for ministry in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And as I wrote in the bulletin back a couple of months ago, that pride and joy is only matched by our sadness at the fact that we're losing him in that current role as our youth and family worker. As you'll see, Stephen has written a message in this month's bulletin. Make sure that you do read that. Let me quote a little bit from it. Stephen says this: if it wasn't for a clear sense of call from God into ministry, he would certainly not be leaving. And so he says, for all of you who encouraged me to go into ministry, you've only yourselves to blame. Folks, could I say that I am not one of those who encouraged him to go into ministry? I didn't. I would rarely, if ever, encourage anyone to go into ministry. But I, like you, could see Stephen's growing gifting for that calling. And many of you over the last number of years have asked me, can you see Stephen going on to train for the ministry? And many of you will know, normally my answer was fairly non-committal, but in recent years I've come to realize that there was a growing inevitability about that Stephen would come to that point of applying himself. I just kept hoping he would wait one more year, and then one more year, and then one more year, for purely selfish reasons. Just over a year ago, David Allen, who was the Dean of Ministerial Studies at Union College, phoned me out of the blue to say that he had been listening to Stephen preach as an assessment for the accredited preacher course that Stephen had been undertaking. And David Allen said to me, Michael, I don't often do this, I really don't. But he said, I find myself listening to Stephen preach, and I thought to myself, if I was listening to this every Sunday, I would be more than happy with that. Does he have any thoughts of going on to the ordained ministry? And I knew then the game was certainly up. We've seen those gifts develop. We've seen the great communicator and preacher that Stephen has become. He applied last September. He's gone through what is a fairly rigorous selection process. And despite the reference that I gave him and the psychology test, he somehow still got through and was accepted. And needless to say, I am really sorry. I am gutted. There's no other way to describe it. I am gutted at losing him from our staff team here in Railway Street. He begins his studies at Union Theological College tomorrow with a two-week intensive study of Hebrew, a prospect that makes me so happy to have gone through UTC when I did. because that's going to be fairly demanding. And I don't think even the amount that is in this gift I'm about to present to Stephen would be enough to convince me to face what he's going to face, although I know he'll be well able for it. I'm happy to say this is not goodbye to Stephen. This is a strange situation we're in today. We're not saying goodbye to Stephen and Rachel and Judy yet. Stephen has finished in his role as our youth and family worker. They remain part of our church family for this academic year. And at the end of his first year, Stephen will be assigned to a congregation and he will become a colleague's responsibility. I look forward to the phone calls from that colleague when that happens. But we will look forward to a really happy occasion, God willing, in a couple of years when we will have a licensing service here in Railway Street for Stephen. And God willing, COVID-19 restrictions in churches by that time will be a thing of the past. So I'm going to invite Stephen to come up now just so we can present to him this gift. Come on up, Stephen. Stephen, you know this congregation. In many ways, you know them better than I do. You've been born and raised here. You know them. You know the supportive, encouraging, and kind and generous folks they are. And that is reflected once again in this gift that we have for you this morning. And we trust that this will really help and support and encourage you as you begin your studies. We realize the sacrifice that our ministry students make. They give up jobs, they give up regular incomes to go and to undertake that period of training. So I'm delighted on behalf of the congregation to present this to you, but also this. Now let me tell you something about this. He has been asking about this for years. Every time one of these has been given out, he has said to me, "I hope there's still one of those for whenever I finish at the end of my time." In fact, I'm wondering why we bothered with this, folks. I think he would have just been equally happy. If you don't know what this is, ask somebody beside you. But let me say this, folks. There's no more. Believe it or not, even when Peter and Simon were clearing out the link, they didn't find any more boxes of them. This is it. And so after today, these really do become collector's items. At long last, but I'd set one of these aside for this day. I was never looking forward to it, but I had set one of these aside for this day. And so, Stephen, with great joy and in many ways with great sadness, we say thank you for all that you've done for your Lord, for all that you've done for us as a congregation, and we wish you and Rachel and Judah God's blessing as you begin this new phase in your life together. Thanks, Stephen. I was thinking of asking you to do the benediction, but I'm not sure if you would get through it. I was going to ask you on the basis that you're going to have to get used to doing that most Sundays before too long. Thanks, Stephen, for that. I'm going to invite Stephen to go down to the door just as folks go out. Stephen Johnson, will you come up and do the necessary? And let's stand and let's say the words of the grace together, folks. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.